Welcome, everyone, to ET Healing and Explorations of Consciousness. Sorry, we had a bit of a zoo getting online tonight. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Ann Wessel.
Good evening, everybody. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, darling.
You said according to this, everything's changing, and I guess that's what we're dealing with.
That's exactly what we're dealing with. All right, tonight's topic. The shadow continues moving through fear into love.
Mm-hmm.
And tonight we're going to discuss how fear has held us back from our joy and our fulfillment of our great work and also from true love. So we're just lucky to be on the air tonight at this rate. So anyway, I want to apologize about last week's show. The announcement went out that it was going to be the sacred dispensation about self-love, and they were unable, for whatever reason, to get that off the hard drive. And so they ran a show, I think, from January of this year. So I apologize to everyone who tuned in hopes of experiencing that. We're going to talk to the station to see if they can't try to pull those off, and at some point we'll run them because they were incredibly powerful. So I want to talk about this last week. Actually, it's been 2 weeks since we've really talked with everyone live. But on November 24th was the Twin Flame Full Moon. And it was a really powerful opening to the possibility of finally connecting with our quote-unquote other. And then Squirrels, and most of you who listen out there, who writes wonderful articles for the show, she's an incredible humorist, as well as being incredibly bright, also sent me a great article entitled Entering the Portal of Soulmate Contracts, which will be included in December's newsletter. So for anybody who's listening, if you're not signed up for the newsletter, do so. It's a brilliant piece. And it talks about our path on the planet and regarding soulmates and the kind of people that we've drawn in and through our lifetime. So I thought that was incredibly powerful. I'm excited about including it. The newsletter will go out this weekend.
Hmm.
It's definitely the very best explanation that I've read in terms of what's going on right now. So I found it fascinating. And I want to talk a little bit about the fact that we're all getting blasted with huge energies right now.
Well, I want to say a little bit about the 24th.
Yes, I'd love for you to.
I was a mess.
Really?
We were out doing some errands, which should have been fun. And I felt like I had like little black things jumping around in my body, and I was just irritable. And I was watching myself going, you're really actually quite happy, and all you're being is really cranky. And I couldn't, it's like it was running through me, and I couldn't seem to do anything about it. It was quite interesting.
That is, you know, I remember you and I have discussed this a while back, and I find that fascinating. I'm trying to think of what day that was, Saturday.
Saturday was the 24th.
Right. And this is an amazing time, and for people who are already in relationship, as you are, Veronica,
mm-hmm.
You know, I think that this twin flame full moon was also about connecting with ourselves.
Maybe it's connecting with the parts of even in me, for example, that are really not letting myself be loving and whole or something, and that's where all that gravel was coming out.
Well,
it didn't look like gravel.
To you.
Yeah.
More to you than to anything else.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a because in terms of connecting with anyone outside of ourselves, until we connect with ourselves, we're not fully available.
Right.
And so if there's a challenge, it's going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, you know, I was just talking about the that people are being blasted with lots of deep energy, and some people just have a need to cry, become irritated, agitated, you know, triggered. In 1 minute, and then, or day, and then the next day, or a minute, this beautiful, calming, loving energy comes in behind it. And so, you know, half of us are going to feel like we're losing our mind,
mm-hmm.
which I have come to believe that that's just a constant state anymore.
And it's probably a good idea.
Well, Bashar has often stated this. it's time to get out of our mind. That's mm-hmm. really where we're going. And it's all ascension stuff. This is what we're experiencing as we are moving out of our mind and the limitations that have been placed on us in terms of believing that all this is real and getting locked into the old, you know, belief structure.
I was just chuckling about how a friend and I were talking about the word commitment earlier today. Actually, that word has come up a lot, not just in terms of relationship, but in getting a job done and all of that. And I'm thinking that sometimes those commitments are kind of hanging us on to things, and they're trying to jostle themselves apart. You know, the energy is trying to pull us away and free us for what's really true, what's really self-actualizing, isn't it?
Yes, and I want to get into that in a minute, too, because I'm seeing that in people's lives as well,
mm-hmm.
In a very, very big way.
And having to let go of certain goals. And,
you know. Absolutely. Absolutely. Certainly, again, we don't get to pull things out of the past anymore. You know, our old way of looking at life, which is using the past as a yardstick, isn't going to work anymore.
No.
It absolutely will not work for where we're going. And if we pull it in out of the past, we anchor it into the present, and it's going to get in our way. In other words, the past is no longer our yardstick. It really is not. It's an option. We can pull it forward and make it a part of our present, but it's a real mistake to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And
most of us don't really want to do that anyway, do we?
I don't think so.
Well, you and I were laughing today at how Lazarus says there's no problem too great to walk away from.
I love this. I love this statement. I think it's absolutely brilliant.
It's wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And not only no problem, but no path.
That's what he was talking about, really.
Yes.
But it made me laugh because so many of us have been in there with our roto-rooters dredging and digging. And
well, I think as part of what's happened as part of our healing process, we do get locked into a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
And the goal now is to get through it. And, you know, I see this in sessions so much where there comes a time where it really doesn't matter where it came from, what lifetime, what planet, you know, et cetera. Let's just heal it. Let's just clear it. You know, these energies, and again, that whether they're coming from a current life, this current lifetime, or past lifetimes, or cosmic lifetimes, you know, we're not able right now to decipher exactly what that is. And, you know, and I wanted to ask you about this, Veronica, and certainly for everybody else's benefit. In the sessions that you do, have you noticed with people, and I find this really interesting, that some people, when we go back into their past in this lifetime, are not able to...
Hello? I think we've lost Jackie, Steph.
No, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Okay, sorry. My comment was, I'll repeat it, is going back to looking for a cause in this lifetime for something you're experiencing right now and unable to anchor into anything in this lifetime.
Yes, that's very true.
Okay, and sometimes even in human lifetimes, there just doesn't seem to be a frame of reference, which then takes us up into cosmic lifetimes, which are really coming in for healing and integration. So, you know, what I'm seeing is that our higher selves, our guides, and our very souls are pushing us now to take a deeper look at all that's been hidden from us.
Mm-hmm.
And to not lose hope or think that we're failing, because we're not. That these are all just deeper levels of healing. And, you know, this is going back to your experience the other day, Veronica, with this stuff kind of flying around, nowhere to really decipher where it was coming from.
Right. It seemed to be running through me, though. You know what I mean? So I think the energy speed-ups are really making this so demanding. You know, we can't be a vibrational being with the same old dense energies in there anymore.
No. And again, this is what I'm saying about it's like a conspiracy. Our guides, our higher self, our souls are saying, okay, this is it, folks. You're mm-hmm. going to heal this stuff one way or the other, and we're going to bring it forward for you, okay? It may not be comfortable, but these are the energies okay, that are holding us back from our great work, our great joy, our great love, and our destiny.
Mm.
And when they're coming up, okay, they may come up as physical maladies. They may come up as abundance issues. They may come up as rage over, you know, some unexpected thing.
Personality mismanagement.
I like that. Well, and I want to talk about a couple of things that clients who I'll never use names, myself included. I have a wonderful dear friend and client who is having an issue with her knee. And the knee is swollen, and it's just not cooperating, and she isn't really able to walk on it. And, you know, she's surrounded by people who are healers and so on, and has not been able to get the knee healed, and her focus, of course, is on the knee. If I could get the knee healed, everything else would be okay. And the truth of it, of course, is that it's not the knee. It's the emotions that are creating the malady. And it's about healing the emotions, which then allows the knee to heal. And that's really tough. It's really tough when we're dealing with physical issues.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to say, well, no, it's caused by this. Or, no, I know it's from that. But the truth of it is that if we have a physical issue, there's an emotional underlying base to it. And it's about, for those that are listening, I've had this challenge with my bladder again. And it really kind of kept me down and slowed me down. And with all the work I've had done on it, and, you know, even from a medical perspective, it's not a medical issue. It's an emotional issue. And for me, this is so beautiful. The bladder is about letting go of the past and anxiety. And I've been dealing with some things I'm not really to talk about on the air tonight, but they have triggered me all over the place. So all of my fears have come up that are flying up from the past. And my mind has kind of taken on a life of its own, which is really, you know, my mind is a life of its own anyway.
Woo-hoo!
So I've known that this is an opportunity for me to move through and heal my fear, but it's been a real roller coaster ride, and not to focus on the bladder, but to focus on what the emotions are that are creating the problem with the bladder.
Well, it's interesting when you talk about your friend with the knee.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing is inside the whole length of her thigh, that there's a huge amount about support. It's a right knee, isn't it?
No.
Left knee?
Yes.
Then it's about women, because there's a huge thing that has to do with the construction of the muscle running down the thigh. And I go, wow, that's a whole support, fear, anger thing as well.
Yes. Very much so.
Then it gets really complicated, doesn't it?
It's incredibly complicated, and it's, and the knee, I mean, Louise Hay, who I think is brilliant, it's about inflexibility and resistance and, you know, some other issues is what she says. And so it brings up, of course, and under a lot of that is also some rage stuff and some other things. But it happens to be showing up in a weak place on her body as well. So that's another piece of it. And also to immobilize her, again, a gift from her soul, to immobilize her so she has no way to busy herself and detract or distract from the issue, which is the same thing I'm going for. That's going through. That's why I brought them both up together.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go out and do my 4 miles and distract myself from the fact that I need to deal with old fears that need to be healed.
Right.
Much as I'd love to.
And I think it's really interesting, being a Scorpio, that's kind of where you might file a lot of your past issues, fears that you really don't need to be conscious
Absolutely.
Of.
Absolutely, second chakra.
Yeah, it's kind of
second
interesting,
chakra.
Isn't it?
I'm sorry?
It's so interesting, actually, being an example of your own learning, you know.
I love being a volunteer like this, Veronica. So, again, instead of trying to heal the malady, focusing on the emotions, the underlying emotions, when the emotions are healed, the malady will clear up. And
it's interesting you're talking also about relationships right now and the energy changes and so on. And I've talked to so many people that are having women that are having ovarian things right now and going in there and seeing what kind of emotions are in those, and they're hugely archetypal, right?
Hugely archetypal. I have women also with breast issues, and it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It is archetypal. It is rage at the masculine, at domination, chauvinism. And, you know, with television commercials, I don't even listen to them anymore because they're going to tell you, and they give you statistics, how many women are going to have breast issues.
Yeah, really.
How many women are going to have ovarian issues. And it feeds right into the subconscious. And, you know, this is dangerous stuff. I mean, we're being fed this stuff anyway. But
right. That
doesn't take away from the fact that you're absolutely right. It is showing up. That's why we have such a huge occurrence on the planet right now, as you said, with the ovarian and the breast issue.
Mm-hmm.
The whole healing and shifting the masculine chauvinistic paradigm, where women are still running the resentment of the rage of not only this lifetime, but as you said, archetypal, throughout human lifetimes, we're in the process of shifting and healing this.
And the whole consciousness has got a wave of change moving through that way, hasn't it?
It absolutely does. And if we hold on to, because those people, you know, I'm assuming you're seeing this, Veronica, that in their current lifetimes, they've had stuff that would have or could have created the physiological issue.
Yeah, yes. I see a lot of, I mean, if a woman has a very toxic or a very difficult mother and there's no protection from the male, from the patriarchy, from the male side, then that's usually, that to me has been what I've been seeing a lot of.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was quite interesting over the last few days, anyway.
Well, and I have one who is just looking at the possibility that she may have breast cancer again.
Oh, no.
And we got through the first phase of it, which was really quite serious. And when I look at her energetically, I can still see the issues in her life around the injustice and the unfairness of the way that she's been treated by men.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily dad, but certainly in her marriages. And she's such a courageous soul, but, I mean, it still is unhealed. I still see it. And so these things are definitely, and we really don't want to go, this is why healing is so important, so it doesn't end up being something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also want to talk about the dissolution of relationships. And boy, I'm seeing this in a really big way. People who are in relationships right now, where they have not only a lot of human lifetimes, but a lot of cosmic lifetimes, being pushed out of the relationship because it no longer serves them. You know, they did what they needed to do, and I have several of these, not just one. They did what they needed to do. Their contract is basically over. And their very survival depends on them leaving the relationship. And I think this has got to be one of the biggest challenges because in both of the cases that I have, they are still in love with their mate but have come to a realization that they can't stay.
Is this because, you know, when you're doing all the power retrievals, Jackie, mm-hmm. is this because the energetic rapport between these two souls is too constricting and too limiting? Is that why you say it's survival?
In both cases, they're very codependent.
Mm.
And there's a tremendous amount of push-pull, what I call intermittent reinforcement. And that intermittent reinforcement, in other words, when it's good, it's good. When it's bad, it's horrid.
Mm-hmm.
And the ratios of good and horrid are about 30% good and 70% horrid.
Mm.
You know, so that's on the high side.
Sounds like fun.
And it's very easy and subtle to become addicted to that kind of relationship because you hold on to the good times. And when the bad times come in most cases, people get they get shredded emotionally.
Hmm.
And just about the time, and, you know, they're starting to heal up, they get shredded again. So they get almost immobilized. It's a constant cycle in the relationship. And they never get enough strength to actually be able to see it clearly, but they become addicted.
Hmm.
And if they become highly codependent because their very survival depends on their partner being okay.
And there's a huge endorphin rush when they're making up, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and there is also a rush, an adrenal rush, when they're being attacked.
Mm.
So they have a physiological addiction going on, which happens, you know, with captors and captees.
Mm.
And so it becomes so distorted. And some of these people have, I know in both cases of both the couples that I'm talking about, they've had missions to accomplish here. And they were big ones.
So what kind of missions? How are people contracted to do that?
I can't go into both of them. I'll go into one of them. With the one couple, it was a blending of the races, okay?
Oh.
It was hugely archetypal. In other words, the husband carries that kind of the emperor or king energy. And the children have very big paths on the planet because they are blended with these very, the wife has very high spiritual and huge, I mean, her guides are just amazing. And the husband is very powerful and comes from a very strong reptilian lineage.
Hmm.
And I would say probably royalty in the royalty in the reptilian lineage.
Hmm.
Now, they have two children that struggle with this blending of the two kinds of energies. They have both going on. And just raising those children, which they had late in life, was an amazing feat because those children will go on to have huge impact on the planet.
Mm, wonderful.
So it was a very big contract. However, it reached a point where, okay, and I mean, we've done sessions together where when we looked back at their lifetimes together, they were so many of them. I'll use your word, Veronica, which I love. The cellular connection is so strong that it weaves through all time and space.
Mm.
And she's having to deal with her greatest fear, which is to walk into the unknown. And for a number of circumstances that are going on in their lives right now, she's not moving out of the relationship with a solid base that she should have. And very frightening for her. It's her greatest fear. And it's just fascinating to me to see that basically she's been unhappy throughout the entire relationship, 20-something years,
mm-hmm.
27 years. And... Yes, do we have a caller?
We have a caller.
Yes, hi, Jackie. Hi, Veronica. Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening.
How are you two this evening?
Wonderful, thank you. And you?
Good, thank you. My name is Susan, and I've been listening to the show. I listen to it every week, and I enjoy you two very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This may be a little bit off of the topic this evening, and I hope that's okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I've been wanting to call for myself with some ET healing with you, Jackie, and actually the reason why I'm calling this evening a little bit more urgent is that my 13-year-old flat-coated retriever has just gotten diagnosed with osteosarcoma. And I was wondering if you do healing on animals also.
What I would recommend, dear, is for you to send an email with a photograph, if you can, of the animal. And I'll ask, you know, I'll request assistance. I can't guarantee.
Okay. I would greatly appreciate that, and I will absolutely do that.
Yes. In some cases, they have assisted animals, horses, cats, dogs, and I don't want to open that up to everyone, but I will say that we try to assist if possible. There have definitely been some amazing healing with animals, and in some cases, the animal is wanting to move on. So, you know, that's all I can really say to you, but do email me with the information.
I will do that, and I thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you bet, honey. Thank you for calling. You have a great evening.
Thank you, you too.
Wow, that's another contract, right?
Yes. Actually, and, you know, I don't want to get too off subject here, but yes, with animals, we have a being by the name of Iliani who loves to work with cats, and he's just fabulous.
Hmm.
And we have a wonderful woman that I work with and who works with her cat who is, I don't know, this cat is so old, I can't even believe it. And Iliani comes and works with this cat all the time who wants to be here and move through the ascension process. So it's an amazement to me. This cat, I can't remember the cat's age, but it's far beyond a normal what a normal cat should live.
Oh, it's a wonderful story.
It is. It's quite a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. And Iliani is an amazing being.
Hmm.
We also have had a lot of interesting things with horses and dogs, and they do love the animals. And so,
bringers of light.
They absolutely are.
Back to that other relationship, I was thinking, is the contract really to release so that this woman has to face the unknown? Is that the contract, is the release?
Actually, part of the contract is to let go of wanting them to be different, wanting them to get it. Wanting the other to get it.
Hmm.
And does it include as a sub-contract trust of stepping into the unknown? Of course, always. Isn't that the ultimate test for all of us?
Mm-hmm.
Is to move into the unknown with absolute trust?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's the ultimate.
Mm-hmm. We have another caller, Jackie.
Yes. Good evening.
Hi, my name is Sue. I have a question about a man that wanted to have a relationship with me for a long time, and I didn't really understand this until last year. Now he's not available, so it's not an option. But I'm having trouble letting go of it. Did I have a soul contract with this person? Because it seems to me that he feels that he had a soul contract with me.
Veronica, I'm going to defer to you on this.
Excuse me?
I think that the contract was as much about you not connecting with him. It's very interesting because I feel like you did the contract, which sounds crazy because you didn't get into a relationship with him. But it looks like you did the contract that was set up.
Oh, in other words, it was I did everything I could to avoid the relationship.
Yeah, and I think
I did.
You did the right thing.
You did because I think it would have destroyed me.
Yeah, it's one of those relationships that Jackie was talking about where, like you say, it can destroy you. It would have been living out the traumatic, karmic stuff instead of just knowing it's there and not getting involved.
I think you're right about that.
Okay, well, thank you for calling, darling.
Okay, thank you so very, very much. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.
Interesting concept, see?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to the relationships, and yes, where it gets difficult is pulling out of the addiction.
Hmm.
And it's kind of like it becomes your drug of choice. And being strong, I mean, I was in a relationship like this, so I know this one, and it was horrendous, where I had to leave someone I was very much in love with, but it was so not in alignment with who I was that if I didn't leave it, I knew I was not going to survive.
Mm.
And
interesting, you say not in alignment with who I was. So is that where you get constricted so much you can't really be evolving, you can't really be expressing your true self?
Absolutely. I actually got so involved in the addiction of the relationship, as my other friend is through this other relationship. I found that between the intermittent reinforcement and the becoming the tiger at the door, so to speak, because, again, potentially had this incredible potential, but was incapable of really doing it, and actually even said that.
Hmm.
So then the job for me was to step out of the relationship because I had a mission that I had to complete.
And you knew it.
Yes, I did. Absolutely knew it. Good evening. You have a call. We have a call.
Hello.
Yes. I can barely hear you.
You're on the air.
Okay. This is for Veronica.
Yes.
My name is also Susan.
That's three of you tonight.
That's three in a row. You used a word a while ago, cellular.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been using that?
Oh, I don't know. 20 years?
20 years, okay. That came to me out of the blue while I was driving one day. And I've been using it. And I spell it S-O-U-L-A-L-A-R,
mm-hmm.
without a hyphen. And to me, cellular is the spirit as cellular is the physical.
Excellent.
That's the way it works for me.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's someone that I had gotten emails, and she's been using it, and I contacted her. And now I hear you're using it, so apparently it's out there.
It's a good word because a lot of us are trying to work to the soul, and that's what Jackie was talking about in relationship as well.
Well, this is something that I had not seen or heard anyone use it except myself until within the last, I'm going to say, 3 months. And I've been using it for years. So I was just curious how long you'd been using it.
Thank you, yes.
Well, thank you for calling, darling.
I'm sorry?
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the fear that's showing up, if we can. It's coming up right now, especially in health, relationship, career, and abundance. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. Veronica, are you seeing others?
No, this is probably it. Well, relationship is huge right now, as far as I can see.
Well, again, with this opening that occurred, I think it's really being emphasized more than I've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And the possibilities for really deep soul connection are present. And I think that we're going to be moving into relationships that have an entirely different foundation than I think we've ever seen before, and similar to what you and Bob have,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, coming together on a deep soul level with people where your mutual commitment, there's an awakening within both of you that there is something more, that you're here to do something more, have a greater reach, stepping out and into your great work, however that looks.
And it isn't always easy, and I know this with other people, because you still have to keep clearing.
Oh.
You know, the force of two... people wanting their own authenticity and, again, cellular purification and great work, you really have to have a lot of clearing, don't you?
Yes.
We got the dustbuster in every pocket.
Well, you know, again, because I'm really seeing soul play so much in this right now, is that we don't get to take our old stuff into the higher dimensions. And the goal now is to start bringing a whole new level of relationship onto the planet.
Excellent.
That has this additional quality where they become the couple become an inspiration because of who they are, inspiring others to believe that it's possible even to have something greater and more than they've ever believed was possible. And, you know, for the two people that I know that I'm working with directly that are being moved out of relationships that literally is challenging them to believe that they can even live through the end of these relationships. And yet when I look at what I see for both of them are huge opportunities to have an entirely different kind of relationship. Will they ever stop loving their mate? No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, their soul connections are so deep and strong, but it doesn't have to shred them in the process. They can still accept that they have these deep soul connections and still have love for them, but love changes and move on to a relationship that is more supportive mm-hmm. for them at this timing.
And contracts aren't exactly fun all the time, are they?
No. No, my ex-husband said to my son, you know, 30 minutes with your mom and I'll have her back. And I said, tell him, dear, the contract is over. It's been 20 years. The contract is over. It's officially over. Day-to-day stuff that's triggering a lot, and I really want to talk about this for a minute, is this day-to-day stuff that's coming up. And anything that's triggering our fear or irritating us or aggravating us, to really move through it as fast as possible into love, because it's going to drop your resonance. And I'm great on this one because I call myself the enforcer. You know, walking and, you know, trash in the street or, you know, people speeding through the school zone or, you know, when you're in the crosswalk and they make the turns and so on, which you're, you know, legally not supposed to do. It just aggravates me. And every time I respond to it, I can feel my resonance drop.
Hmm.
And I recognize that as long as I do it, I'm going to keep seeing it. And so it's, you know, somebody who cuts you off on the street, somebody who's rude in the street, somebody who cuts in front of you in line. Those little things right now, we don't have the luxury of not moving right through into love.
Yeah, with the energies right now, sometimes it can trigger an irritability that is, you know, you might be handling the fear to love, but there's an irritability factor, too. I'm, of course, speaking for myself. Have you noticed?
Yes. Well, you know, every once in a while I'll be, you know, I don't drive much because I don't get out much anymore, but I find myself responding to a driver. And I'm not talking with, you know, gestations or anything. I'm just something I'll say to myself and thinking, what am I doing? I know better. Just that immediate response and feeling the energy of the words coming out or in my mind even, realizing how quickly my energy shifted
mm-hmm.
and how silly it is. Okay, I want to talk quickly, if we can, about races. And this is going to come up big. And, you know, I will do a whole show on this one because I think it's so big. But all of our judgments about races, whether they're human races or cosmic races, they're going to be shattered.
Mm-hmm.
And because access to information about the cosmos, how it works, and so on, is starting to really open up now. And there have been so many questions, and we tend to generalize, just like we do on Earth, about cosmic races. And I'm specifically referring to the reptilians here because people have it built into their system, it's built into the collective, this fear around the reptilians. And what I'm fascinated by is I'm seeing this show up in people's family of origin, doing power retrievals, their children are showing up or relatives or whatever, and they're actually coming forward during the power retrieval in the reptilian form. And it's been a fascination to me, the understanding. Now, they're not only reptilian. There's a blending of other things in there.
But I told you I had that experience when I was doing a power retrieval on my mother. And I went into this funny phase like, nobody's going to talk to me now.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is not going to work anymore. You know, do we have factions that are involved in other controlling energies on the planet that may be reptilian? Yes. Are all reptilians bad? No. So those judgments, you know, again, going through fear into love, are going to have to go out the window.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to serve us now because information's coming in too fast. Changes are coming at us too fast.
So it's just like opening our minds and hearts and learning about them and exploring.
Well, mm-hmm. here's the catch 22 of it.
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid that if they open up to anything, they're going to open up to the negative.
Mm-hmm.
So that fear keeps them from opening up to anything other than they're bad, let's fear them.
Well, actually, that sort of adds to the stockpile of shadow, doesn't it?
Exactly. That's why we're still in the shadow, Veronica, because that's exactly where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly where it goes. So, you know, I'm putting that out there, and the same thing for the grays. Are there groups of grays that are, you know, tough? Yes. Are the majority good? Yes. This is where we're going to have to, if you embrace one, do you open to the other? No. If you're sitting around in fear, drama, trauma, etc., do you open yourself up to it? Yes.
So it's all vibrational, isn't it?
It's totally vibrational.
Mm-hmm.
It is totally vibrational. This is where keeping it clean is the greatest thing you can do. You are invisible to any race that has any ill intent if your vibration is high. You're literally invisible.
Hmm.
That's a big piece. And I bring some of these subjects up, and I know people, it may send shivers through them, but it has to come up. The other one is family of origin. It's the holidays, everybody. We're going to hit this like crazy. We always do.
That brings shivers to a lot of people, too. Just kidding.
Yes, no, you're not. You're absolutely right. Family of origin is going to be up, especially this year.
Wow.
I can feel it absolutely ramping up.
Hmm.
And this is going to be our opportunity this year to come to peace with our family of origin, whether it's parents, brothers, sisters, cousins, children, doesn't matter what it is, aunts, uncles. And this can be really challenging for people, but to be able to be around them, and I think there's a lot of fear built in it, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm basically an only child. My brother was born after I left, and I have absolutely no contact with him. But I think that there is fear in a lot of people about being around certain members of family. Well, and you could speak to this better than anyone,
mm-hmm.
who can be shattering for them.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Oh, yes. And I think, you know, with the power retrievals and everything, it's really been important to pull away from all of those influences and hope that there's no strings left. You know, that's what I'm thinking when I look at this, is jeepers. Do we ever get to the point where around Christmas or holiday times, your strings aren't being pulled by those old subconscious and cellular memory trigger things?
Yeah? Right. Well, and this is where walking into the situation fully armed with the intent to transmute that fear into love, no matter what's said, is the most powerful place you can be. Now, is it a challenge? I will not say to anybody this is going to be easy, but I will say it is the great opportunity that we face. Now, I have a daughter that moving out of the country and, you know, going to do some things that are really frightening for her. She's going to start, you know, doing some things for herself that are very big, and it's hitting all of her fear stuff about having a solid base and, you know, branching out onto her own and stepping into her power. And I finally realized how big this is for her and how much she needs my encouragement. And as a mother, I look at it and see all the pitfalls, and, you know, I'm concerned about the I's dotted, the T's crossed, but I realize what she needs from me regardless, is my love and support.
Well, you go, girl. I know who you are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
She needs to hear that, not the caution.
Mm-hmm.
She does, she already has the cautions in her mind. She is already dealing with this huge amount of fear.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and trusting that she's got her own guides and people that are going to guide her, she'll land on her feet one way or the other. I have a friend whose son is getting married, and, you know, it brought up some questions about, you know, is it the right thing? And again, it's trusting that they're walking into a contract that's their contract. We don't know what it is. You know, we may, as parents and as adults, may look at it and go, well, I'm not sure about this. You know, I've done that with my children. But if they have to walk through something, even if it's going to be difficult, it may be something they decided to do, their contract. All we can do is stand by and be the support and be the neutral party, which is tough.
Can I ask you something about contracts? Is like how can we learn to recognize our contracts? In five easy lessons.
Well, you answered one of the callers, and I thought it was really interesting where you said to the woman that she did exactly what she was supposed to do, which was to walk away.
Mm.
And, you know, when I look at them, I say, okay, I have a friend right now who is taking on a business venture that, you know, I said to her, please get out. You know, you're not going to last 2 weeks. This is really tough on you. And she's soaring within the structure that she entered.
Hmm.
You know who this is, Veronica.
Yes, I do. Good for her.
And now, is it something that you and I would want to take on? No. Does she have the capacity and the ability to turn it around into something magnificent? Yes.
And you know what was a pitfall? This is a good example, actually. One of the things that's a pitfall, it was the danger that she would be submerged by that which did not look like it had integrity.
Exactly.
And how many of us get, and I've had this experience before where you get kind of people logged, like waterlogged, and you get to take on all these vibrations, and finally you've kind of lost yourself.
Exactly.
But it looks vibrationally right now to me that she's doing just fine.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here we go again as parents, where we can project that same thing not only onto our friends, but onto our parents.
Right.
I'm sorry, not parents, children. Where we see the pitfalls ahead for them, but they may make a higher choice while in that contract and take it to a level that we never anticipated that they were capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing.
And the purpose of that contract is very often really impossible to see until they're done with it.
Well, especially on the planet right now, because we don't have the beginning, middle, and end to things. We used to be able to read at least the strongest possibility. We really can't do that anymore. Veronica, you know that.
I know.
You're the psychic. And we can't, it isn't there because we're creating it as we go right now.
Right.
And the only way we can create the most positive outcome is to be in the now moment, be out of fear, in love, with everything that we're doing.
And keep your focus on, you know, your own potential, your own fear, your own love. Moving out of here, you got to keep that focus, that vigilance. Eh?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and it's vigilance. I like the word
because we're vigilantes. Woo!
No, it is. You know, we just don't have the luxury of our minds wandering anymore.
No, we don't, do we?
No. The days of now daydreaming is fine, but going into negative scenarios and sitting in them, no.
We don't have any time. Well, you know, I've probably mentioned this before, but on my shows where I'm interviewing people about 2012, and
yeah.
I just keep hearing how what used to take a million years vibrationally now takes about 360 days, and that's going to escalate by 20 times by 2011.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which gives me a real sense of the time.
Well, it also goes back to how important it is to watch our thoughts.
Right.
Because if we're creating that fast, if things are manifesting that quickly, remember, we're going into no time.
Right.
And in no time, that means your thoughts will manifest instantly. we're in the process of training, accelerated training, to work with our thoughts.
So tell me this, Jackie, going back to the shadow, with this speed up and no time and all of that, we can actually dump the shadow much faster. We maybe only need 4 or 5 more shows.
Veronica, you're the perpetual optimist. Yes, the potential is there to do that, and it's more individual than I would say the show. The shadow is the ultimate clearing. Lazarus called it the spiritual imperative.
Hmm.
There is no option with the shadow. And what we're seeing now is that more and more is being opened up and shown to us. We have our souls, our higher selves and guides, pushing it with their foot in our butts. And so...
to see the reptiles in our belly.
Yeah, right. And, you know, so we either get there quickly or we're going to get stalemated and stuck in garbage until we get out of it. Now, I mean, it's not that anybody can't come out of the garbage, but, you know...
But the amount of time we get stuck in it is really unnecessary.
It really is. It is unnecessary. I mean, it's an option, and I would never take that option away from anybody.
Mm.
I fully recognize that my daughter made a real interesting statement to me. She was down in Cancun, and her friends down there had said that Cancun is magical if you work with the energies there. And she was really contemplating and dealing with her fears around stepping out into her own and, you know, creating businesses in a new country and, you know, following her dreams. And she was sitting on a wall watching the waves wash in, and she said, Mom, at one point I finally cleared it, and I looked up, and the ocean smiled at me.
Aww.
And I went, wow. It's this wave came up and created a smile.
Aww.
And I thought that was a beautiful statement.
Hmm.
You know, and it touched my heart because I could feel in her how much she's going through and how much courage it takes to step out of, you know, a huge job and all of the benefits that came with it and and really step out into her own, not only, you know, a new job, and if she's got the power, there's no question about that. She has the power to do it. This is where, and I really want to bring this back up again, is bringing the past into the present. And boy, this is another trap. The fear, in order to have fear for ourselves or anyone else, we have to draw on past experience. The minute we draw on past experience, we pull that right into the present and pollute the present.
Hmm.
And that's big. Now, that is optional. We can actually be right now in this now moment creating something brand new with the past totally as a backdrop, having no influence. It's an option. Now, I've struggled with this one. Trust me, I am not pontificating here. I have struggled with this one. I have been in total struggle. As I said, my mind has had a life of its own, waking up even in the middle of the night with all of my own questions about something I'm dealing with right now, popping in, all of my fears popping in.
Coming from all kinds of places of your soul journey, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. When it's coming, waking me up in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, you know, I wake up, but, you know, I have a lot of activity going on. You know, I'm kind of used to that. But I don't wake up stirred up or concerned. I wake up, look around, and go, okay, fine, and go back to sleep. The other one is that it's really time to trust that we're not being set up to fail.
Mm.
And for so many people have this in their past, we all do, where we have had high expectations for something and failed at it, whatever it may be, whether it's relationships or jobs or opportunities or whatever. And that's another one we have to really, really watch. We are not being set up to fail. I mean, we really never were, but that's an old belief that can kick our butt. I'm surprised you didn't jump on that one.
Well, I was just thinking we're being quantumated.
Oh, God, she's made up a new word.
I just kept thinking, yeah, but we're going to quantum leap. That's what we're being set up to do, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. But
well, we're here to make new maps, and the only way you can make a new map is with a lot of courage, a lot of trust, a really clear head, and a commitment to stay in the now moment.
And all the air that comes with a twin flame Gemini full moon.
Yes. Amen. So. I do love you, Veronica. And I want to thank everyone who tuned in this evening. We love you so much. And Veronica, please tell them your show.
Radiance by Design at 4 o'clock West Coast time, Tuesdays. We've been talking about channeling over the last few shows, and it's a call-in show. And then at 5 o'clock West Coast time, we have Paradigm Shifters, and I interview various people that are shifting the paradigm these days. The up-and-coming one is Eve Kerwin, who channels Buffalo Woman. So that should be a pretty good show.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, learning a lot.
Fascinating.
I'm being selfish. I'm just interviewing people I want to learn from.
No, that's brilliant. that's brilliant.
I figure it sends a wave, right?
It absolutely does. And there's so much good work out there right now. It's really wonderful.
It's very exciting.
And I want to thank everyone for tuning in. We love you so much. Please remember that a piece of every one of you is in Veronica and I. And a piece of us is in every one of you. It can be no other way because we really are all one. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll talk with you next week, 8 p.m. Pacific time. Have a blessed week. Veronica, good night. I love you.
Good night, Jackie. Love you and many blessings, everyone.
Good night, everyone.